Mark chapter 10, if you will. Okay, we started last week looking at, I titled it, The Characters Around Christ. And boy, there were some characters around the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen, we started last week with it and saw how that that old Zacchaeus, boy, he came, a man short of stature. He came and he said, I'm going to do my dead level best to get up and see Jesus. He ran ahead of the press and got up in that tree. And boy, he did his thing, and Jesus took note of that, didn't he? And it's okay to get the attention of Jesus Christ, and we should. Mark chapter 10, we're going to move along here. Now go all the way to verse 46, if you will. Verse 46, now notice with me, he's again in Jericho. We talked about that last week. That's where Zacchaeus was. And they came to Jericho. Notice this. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, we call him old blind Bart, with son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do, he says. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, another character that's come into the life of Jesus surrounding him. I said last week, boy, there's some characters around the gospel and the church especially. You dear folks are not characters. You're sweet people and you're somewhat normal. Okay, I'm not normal, so I can't judge that very well. But there's some characters. Boy, I tell you, one time I had a fella come in the back door. I was working at another church in another ministry. He came in the back door. He was a tall guy. He's about 6'3". But he had long hair. And he had a dress on. And I looked at him and I said, okay. And I went up and greeted him, said, how you doing today? It's good to have you here in church. And he very friendly, very nice. But he was a trans person, not sure the correct term today, but he was a trans person. And anyways, we went through the service. He was a very nice person. I went up to the pastor I was working for afterwards. I said, did you meet the person? He said, oh, the nice lady? I said, that's not a lady. He said, yeah, it is. That's a lady. I met her. That's a lady. I said, that's not a lady. I said, did you see the Adam's apple? He said, you sure? I said, that's not a lady. Well, we went back and forth and debated for a while. And so the next Sunday, he showed up again. And sure enough, the pastor said, oh, you were right. It's a guy. It's a guy. Anyways, very nice person, very nice. And we tried to minister to him and share the gospel. He had some issues and problems, obviously, with some things in his life. But anyways, I thought of that character. I had another fella, and he came, and boy, he was a little strange. He was a little bit off mentally, and nothing wrong with that. We were very kind. He was a very nice man. He's a little different, but he'd come in a little late, and he'd sit right behind these. We had a few girls in our church, and he'd sit right behind them, and he'd lean forward, right behind them. And they were real uncomfortable. Said, Pastor Tim, this guy makes me real uncomfortable. He's breathing on us and stuff. And then he'd always want to talk to all the ladies. And just a character, boy. He never did anything. He was very nice. But just you think about, there's so many different people, aren't there, in this world. And some of you folks work with some people like that. We are trying to reach them with the gospel. You know that. And Jesus, as I said last week, boy, he did not shy away from anybody. He didn't. He was there to minister. Now notice verse 45, if you will. Notice what it says. He says this, that even the Son of Man came not to be ministered. He's speaking of himself, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That was the goal of Jesus Christ. That was his primary goal, for coming to this earth and dying for our sins. Did you come to be pampered? Did you come for them to wave the palm leaves and feed you grapes and sit on the throne? And Jesus said, nope, that's coming later. The first advent, he came as a suffering lamb, and the second time he comes, he'll come as a lion. Okay, and now you don't want to be caught off guard when he comes a second time. You want to make sure where you are, you're where you're supposed to be, as we said this morning, in the perfect will of God. But he says now, notice, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to be your servant. And the ultimate act of a servant is what? Sacrificial death. You cannot give anything else. The ultimate gift or the service you can perform for another person is giving your life for them. That's what you do. That's what Jesus did. Now, let's jump into this story here tonight. And notice with me, first of all, it says in verse 46 again, there was a man, blind Bartimaeus. First of all, notice this, he was identified by his ailment. They didn't say Bartimaeus. What did they call him? Blind Bartimaeus. That was how everyone, because there are probably several Barts in the town. You know, there's Bart Johnson and Bart McGillicuddy. And Bart, do you know Blind Bart? Oh, yeah, I know Blind Bart. I know who he is. And you think about it, he was identified by his ailment. He was identified, can I say, by his name. He was the son of Timaeus. Now, we don't know a lot about Timaeus. I don't know if he's a good guy, a bad guy. I don't know if he was a rotten scoundrel. I don't know if he was a sweet man. We don't know. But he's identified by a name. We're also going to see he's identified by his position. Notice he sat by the highway side. He sat. He was identified, can I say, by his income? Begging. This guy was broke as a joke. He had nothing. He was begging. Do you know the world tonight will identify? They want to put a label on you. They want to put a label on me, don't they? They want to identify us. And if you grew up in the public school system, you had to be identified in some way, didn't you? You were with them, or you hang out with them, or you identified with them. Now, you think about here tonight, we all have an identity of some kind. And I sure pray that you're not identified by one of these. But if you're saved tonight, you're identified and you're named with the name of Christ. You're part of his family and you're identified with him. And we'll see that at the end. He comes now and he identifies with Jesus Christ. Notice that. Are you identified by something tonight other than that? I think about certain individuals. In Mark chapter number 5, there were three primary individuals that came to Jesus in Mark 5, and they were all identified in some way. First was a woman with the issue of blood. She could not be healed. She spent all of her money trying to rectify the situation, heal her ailment, if you will. And it said she came and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. But she was identified, not by a name, by the way. She's never given a name, by her ailment. There's another man that came and they went over to the other side of the lake there, and there came and met him a maniac of Gadara. He was crazy. He was possessed with demons and devils, and he was naked and cutting himself and all these things. Never given a name, identified by his ailment, by his problem, isn't he? There's another man identified in there and others as well. But we think about, there are people like that. He's a good man. He's this and that. He's that and this. But notice, he's blind. He's blind. As we come to Jesus Christ, you know this, that we are no longer identified by our ailment, or by even, let me say the opposite, our good qualities, our good things. What are we identified? Hopefully now by Jesus Christ. Oh, you're now a son of not Timaeus, you're son of Jesus. You're son of him. You're a child of the king. You're one of him. An individual in the Old Testament by the name of Naaman, he came, he was a general of the army, Syrian army. Mighty man, wealthy, powerful. And he was probably the most powerful at the time, one of the mightiest armies on planet Earth, probably one of the most powerful men to ever walk. And in that time especially. But it says this, but he was a leper. He had all these things, but he was a leper. And that's you and I. We have all these accolades, but we're still just a sinner, aren't we? We're sinners. That's who we are. That's where we were born. We were born into this world, a fallen world, and we're sinners. And it says that he was identified there. Jephthah in the book of Judges was cast out from his brothers. His brothers said, we don't want you in our home because you're the son of a harlot. Our father went and had relations with a harlot and you were born out of that. We want nothing to do with you until what? They started to get picked on by the other cities. And they called Jephthah, Jephthah, would you come and help us? Well, you didn't want nothing to do with me, I thought. And they finally persuaded him. He came and took care of business and helped him out. Identified. Ruth, I think about. Oh, there's so many characters. You read the book of Ruth. It's a short little book. You could read that through in about 10, 15 minutes, however fast you read or slow. Ruth, man, she was identified. Do you know Ruth? Yeah, she's a sweet girl. Came and helped Naomi and all these things. And what? But she's a Moabitess. She's a Moabite. She's not one of us. She's not a Jew. No, she's identified. Can I say tonight, we're identified with Jesus Christ? Now notice his ailment, his name, his position. His position, his income, or lack thereof. All these things the world wants to identify us by, the labels they want to put on us. Excuse me. That we have in our walk. We have in our daily lives. And by the way, when you allow the world to label you, you're paying attention to the world. They're going to call you names and label you anyways. Who cares? Get away from it. You don't got to listen to that. You know one thing, and you know one thing for sure. You're a child of Jesus Christ. You're part of the family of God. You've been adopted into the family if you're saved. Now I go forward. Now notice blind Bart. He sits by the highway side, got nothing going for him. He's begging. Good picture of the sinner, the child of God before he was saved. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now notice this. He never met Jesus, but apparently he'd heard the fame of Jesus. You know what he said? A blind man begging on the side of the road knew more about Jesus. You think about the guy like Nathanael. You remember what was said? Nathanael made the statement when he heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't say, "Oh, dear God, save and help me, please." What did Nathanael say? "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was, you know, the hill country. He was from the country. "Can anything come out of there that's any good?" I mean, he's a prejudiced man. He was judging or prejudging Jesus. And this old beggar said, "I've got enough horse sense about me to know that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the answer to my problem. He's the answer to my ailment." Notice what he does. He began to cry out. It says when he heard. That was the only sense he had. Couldn't see. He could hear. So he went ahead and used that. He heard. I'm sure he could taste, I hope. He could feel. But he used what he had. He heard. You know, there's people today that have their sight, that have their ears, that have their senses, and they want nothing to do with Christ. But he said, "Listen, I've got to get to Christ. I've got to know Him. I've got to get close to Him." And he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David." Now notice that again. We read that a little last week. But he correctly identifies who Christ is. He's identifying Jesus as the Messiah. He says, "Have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now in Luke chapter 18, verse 35, it gives the account of this again. But it says there, it says they begin to rebuke him. Jesus, save me, it's me. And they said, "Hey, hush up, be quiet. Why don't you calm down a little bit?" You know, when you get excited about Christ, there's going to be people that say, "Hey, why don't you calm down?" As we said with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus climbed up, pressed through the crowd, and said, "I can't see nothing." And he said, "I'll go and climb up in the tree. That's what I'll do." And people, no doubt, mocked and made fun of him. But he said, "Jesus," he cried out, have mercy on me, Lord." And they said, "Why don't you just be quiet already? Why don't you relax a little bit? I understand going to church on Sunday morning." Yeah, everybody does that. But Sunday night and Wednesday night and the Thursday night Bible study, good night. You better slow down. "I know that you read your Bible on Sundays, sure. And when you have times of trial and tribulation, you call unto Jesus, sure. But praying to Him every night? But spending time in prayer and reading your Bible extensively and spending more time in the Scripture than in entertainment and other things? I understand." Whoa, calm down. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. You know, the people that say hold your peace are not the blind ones. The people that say hold your peace are not the ones that have sat for 25 years begging, just trying to get something to eat. The people that say hold your peace are not the ones that have sat there most of their lives without a sight and not understanding that. You know that today? Those are the people that are going to tell you to shut up. Pardon my French. Don't say that, kids. They're going to say just hush up. Why don't you calm down a little bit? You know why? Because they're not spiritual people. You know why? Because they're not ones that say, I've never been blind. You say, "Yeah, I've been blind. I've been blind. I understand where I came from. I understand the place that I was in. I understand the ailment that I had, the name, the position, the income, or lack thereof." You don't understand that. And so, therefore, I'm going to get a little excited when Jesus passes by. Oh, my friends, and when you walk with Jesus and you talk with Him and you understand that His sweet harmony, the sweet presence of God in your life, you say without a doubt and unashamedly, you're going to cry out to Jesus Christ. And there will be naysayers. There will be critics. There will be people that say, why don't you go ahead and calm down a little bit? Slow down. Slow down. I can't tell you, and I won't dare say the names of people, but there have been pastors in my own life, senior men that are 20 and 30 years older than me that have said, why don't you just slow down a little bit? You're getting too ahead of yourself. I understand they're trying to be counseling to me and other things. But why not exercise faith? Why not step out by faith? Why not do something? And we were sitting in a little office space over here, 10 by 10 or whatever it was. And why don't you just take it easy? You don't got to build something right away. You don't got to look for a church building right away. And I said, why not? Let's go ahead and look for one. Let's go ahead and pray about one. And praise God, He gave us this one. And for some seasons, I thought I was crazy. Oh, man. You think about, and I know you folks have the same, you think about, oh God, I'll go ahead and step out by faith. He says, it cried out to Jesus. Is there something in your life you're thinking about? Is there something you're thinking about stepping out by faith with? You're saying, you know what? I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to give that amount that God put on my heart. I'm going to do this. I may not be able to help out here or there, and I don't know how to do this or that, but I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to do it. And old blind Bart said, I'm going to go ahead and cry out. They said, why don't you be quiet a little bit? Notice verse 48, but he cried the more. I like that. And again, I'm not trying to be critical or mean-spirited, but when they tell you to be quiet, you go ahead and cry out the more. When they tell you you can't do it, I guess that's just stubbornness on my part. They say you can't do it, what? You go ahead and just try. Take godly counsel, absolutely, and wait on the Lord and wait for the directing and leading of the Holy Spirit. But you go ahead and just go ahead and do it more and cry out more. And they say, you need to back off a little bit. You're becoming too fanatical. You go ahead and get more fanatical. You go ahead and do more. And he says, it cried the more a great deal. Notice, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Notice he never changed his message. They said, why don't you be quiet? He says, well, Jesus of Nazareth, could you save me? Never changes his message. Son of David, have mercy on me. I know you're the Messiah. I know you're the God. And Jesus, notice 49, stood still. Jesus stood still. It's an amazing thing to think about that you can get Jesus to stand still. In this sense, we get Jesus' attention. We get him to listen. Zacchaeus had a great way, an interesting way to get the attention of Jesus, and that's okay. You need to get the attention of Jesus. He knows what you're doing. His eyes are on the sparrow. His eyes are on you. You need to get the attention of Jesus. Him hawing around and being a normal, nominal Christian, that's fine, but that's not going to get his attention. Special blessings fall on those people that exercise great faith. Great answers come to those who ask great requests. And he says, he stood still. There was a man that came to Christ and he said, sir, I have a servant sick at home. This man was a centurion. He was very prominent, had wealth. He had control. He managed many people. He had his own business, etc. But he was not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile man. And he said, Lord, heal my servant. He said, but you don't need to come home with me. You just say the word and I believe it'll be done. And it says Jesus marveled. The first time in Scripture, Jesus actually marveled. He was surprised. He says, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I've not found great faith among my own people. It's found in this Gentile man. You get Jesus to marvel by your faith. And that's what he did. He got Jesus to stand still by his faith. He says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop asking. I'm not going to stop serving until Jesus, you give me an answer. Until you acknowledge me. We're not trying to do anything of twisting his arm in that way, you know. If God wants to answer, he'll answer. But I think tonight that sometimes in my own life that I don't get what I want because I stop asking too soon. I think because I stop believing too soon. Well, I prayed about that and hasn't been answered. So, Lord, I just chalk it up that you don't want. No, maybe not. Keep asking. Keep pleading for your loved ones to get saved. Keep pleading for God to do a great work. And I plead every single day that God would fall fresh upon our church and the Holy Spirit would come and fall fresh upon our church and the fire of God would fall down upon this pulpit and upon this little building. And by no means am I even close to a great preacher. By no means am I even worth my salt. I know that. But I try and I pray every single week that God would fall fresh upon this church. And I know that. And I know we're a small church on the backside of nowhere. And I understand that. And you understand that. But I believe that God's going to do something very great. I just believe it. And come back in 20 years and see. My 20-year plan. I understand that. I know. I know. You know that. And I say this to God very reverently, very kindly, and I say it when I pray to Him. I try to almost every week. And I say, God, I know I don't need to remind you, but let me just say it reverently, Lord, but you do your best work with a little church like ours. You do your best work with a person like me. You do your best work. You do your best work with these kinds of people, with us. God, you know that. You know we don't have a big bank account. You know that we don't have a lot of things going, but God, we have all our needs met. Praise God for that. I'm just saying, old blind Bart said, listen, hey, I'm not going to give up. I've sat here too long, blind. I've sat here too long in the dark. One sat alone on the side of the highway begging. His eyes were dim, he could not see. And then the song goes, and Jesus passed by and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, what? Things happen. Things happen. Now, let's continue, and I must hurry here. He says, notice, when he heard, and then Jesus stood still, he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he sat still, crossed his legs, and waited. No. What's it say? He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Oh, I love that. He rose and came to Jesus. What a wonderful picture of the child of God casting away his old life, casting away his own old garments, and says what? He rose up and followed Christ and said, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go to the Savior, the one that has the answer, the only one that has the answer, casting away that old thing, that old garment. And he rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou have that I should do unto thee? Jesus in the New Testament specifically and the Old Testament, he asks questions. It's very unique. We know he already knows. Why would he ask a question? Well, we know that he does not ask questions to obtain an answer. He already knows everything. He already knows it. I mean, this is pretty obvious. You know, what do you want? But he asks a question, what? To get us to see where we are. To get us. This is one of the I don't say tricks, but tools in psychology. They ask questions, right? They know the answer. They're obvious questions. They're obvious answers. They already know it. But they ask a question anyways to try and get us to talk, to try and get us to understand where we are and what position we're in and et cetera and everything else. And so Jesus never asks a question to obtain an answer. He asks it to get us to see where we are. He did this in the garden. God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. But he wanted Adam to see where he was. And Adam answered and said what? We hid ourselves because we're ashamed. We're ashamed. And you and I know that. And Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do? The obvious answer is, the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The faith that he could heal him. The faith that he was the son of David, the faith that he exercised, it says saved him. Now again, I need not remind you, but I will anyways, that it's the faith that saves us today. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's faith in him. By grace through faith, ye are saved. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm so thankful I don't have to work for my salvation. We acknowledge what Jesus Christ did. We acknowledge who he is. We acknowledge what he did. In this case, what he could do. And he says, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and, notice, followed Jesus. Go thy way. No, I'll stay and follow. I'll stay and follow you. There's several people in Scripture that he said, go thy way, and they left. You remember the 10 lepers, they came and he healed all of them. And he said, they all ran off. Woo, hallelujah, praise God, we're healed. We're healed. And one of them, just one, stopped. He said, he turned back around and said, hey, Jesus. He said, yes, I apologize. I forgot to say thank you. The one time in Scripture someone said thank you. Thank you. He said, were there not 10 of you? Where's the 9? He says, I don't know. Again, it rests in the minority usually. The truth rests in the minority. And we understand that. And we think about here, he says, go ahead and go your way. He says, no, I think I'll follow you. The maniac of Gadara that we just talked about in the tombs, it was demonic, that was filled with so many demons, and he was just so messed up. And he said, Jesus, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no. I want you to go back home and tell everybody what happened to you. The greatest testimony is a changed life. Can I follow you? No, go back home and tell them what I've done for you. And the Bible says that when Jesus came back over that side at a later point, it said all the people came out running. Hey, Jesus, it's old maniac told us about what you did to him. He told us what you did. And I'm saying tonight that there's a character we find here again that we can really emulate. We can follow. He had a faith in God. He had and I love the play on words, he did not have a blind faith. He had a seeing faith, didn't he? He had a faith that moved mountains. He had a faith that said, listen, God can do it. God can do it. We know that. We understand all those things. Now this man, let me say lastly here, he had a physical need that needed to be met, but Jesus answered not only the physical, but the spiritual. He met the spiritual need. God may not answer your physical need today, but he sure as will meet your spiritual need. He saw that, and they saw that. And throughout the ministry of Christ, they came to him, and he said, you have something more than a physical need. You have a spiritual need. You need to be saved. You need to know the truth, and that truth, what? Will set you free or make you free. Now, prior to this incident, just by way of conclusion here, there is an incident that took place of two of the disciples. It says in verse 35, James and John, and they said, who should be the greatest? Or could we sit on the, verse 37, one on the right hand, the other on the left? Jesus said, you know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism? And they said, yeah, we can. And Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup and drink of it. With the baptism that I'm baptized with, you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on the left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to him or them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall, notice this, it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be the servant of all. And then he gives the example that I didn't come to be ministered, but to minister. Now, notice this. He says very clearly that you want to be the greatest or the chiefest, you be the one that serves. And I believe that. And there's going to be a lot of kings and presidents and billionaires, if they make it to heaven, if they're saved, that are going to take a back seat to a man like blind Bartimaeus. They're going to take a back seat to a little nursery worker in the back. They're going to take a back seat to a single mother or a godly man or a little old lady that's faithful. I'm just saying, you know that. A little child that exercises great faith. They're going to take a back seat to those people. We know that. And that's what Jesus says. And you and I tonight, as we think about this, are you exercising the faith that's required of us? Are you stepping out and saying, God, I want to do what you want me to do. And I don't mind. I'm unashamed and I'm not scared to cry out to you. And when the naysayers and critics come my way, I'm going to go ahead and just cry out a little bit more anyways. We need people like that in our church. We need a great revival to take place in our world, not only in our church, but in our city, and then in our state, and in our country, and in our world. We know that. But that won't happen until it starts right here with you. It starts with me. It starts with an individual that says simply, I believe God and what He said. I believe who He is, and therefore I'll step out by faith. It hinders us, doesn't it? It hinders us. But He's identified. He's identified by His ailment. What are you identified by tonight? Are you identified as a child of the King? Are you identified by a person who exercises great faith? Are you identified by a person who's faithful to church, faithful to the Lord, faithful to Him, faithful to the Bible, faithful to prayer? Are you identified by something like that, or are you sadly identified in something other, in some other light? Then he says there's the inquiry of who Jesus is. When he heard, you and I tonight have our hearing, you have your sight, maybe dimming a little bit, but you have it. We were talking today about learning sign language and how that would be a blessing maybe to some people and working that into our services and our church and other things. But you think about today, I think everyone in here, everyone can hear, everyone can see. Are you using those senses that God's gifted you with to serve Him? Hearing, what faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It comes directly from the Bible. So we understand it. I'm just saying tonight, are you exercising your faith the way that we should be? Are you doing that? Old blind Bartimaeus, he said, I'm not going to sit here any longer. I will not sit here and beg the rest of my life. When the opportunity came, he took it. He seized upon the opportunity. And you, my friends, today have been given another life, another opportunity, another day to live. You better seize the opportunity right now. To do what? We have plans. I have list upon list in my office of things I want to do and things I want to accomplish and all of that. But listen, the gift of today, am I serving God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? By the way, you folks here tonight are doing just that. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for serving God. You keep doing that, but this week exercise your faith. Say, God, I believe you can do more. We have a sign out there that says, let your faith be bigger than your fear. Isn't that true? The competing thing in your life of faith is fear. Fear, fear, fear. We let our faith be bigger. Allow it. Say, God, I believe you're greater than that, and I can do great things with you. Amen. I'll stop there tonight. And Father, thank you for this time this evening to share your word. And I know that, God, it's a great blessing to look at stories like this throughout Scripture. You gave them to us for a reason, so we can look at it. And Lord, that we can read and we can acknowledge, we could learn from it, we could heed it. Help us, Lord. What a story of a man who was identified by his ailment, identified. He was labeled by the world. Lord, we don't have to be. We have a new name written down in glory. And I thank you for it. I just pray you'd help me personally, first and foremost, that God, I would exercise the faith that I should. I would live according to your standards like I should. But Lord, help all of us as we go our separate ways. We look out ahead of this week, Lord. No doubt everyone in here has a very busy week. And God, we just pray and plead. We're utterly dependent upon you. Plead for your help, your blessing, and your power upon our lives, for your honor, and for your glory. Thank you for another Sunday to spend in your house. What a joy, what a blessing, God, it's been. In thy precious, holy, wonderful name of Jesus, I pray, and amen.